could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven,
this time we'd like to invite our children to come forward for our children's moment. They're all making a run for it. Hey, come on over here. Joel, Cadence, come on over here. All right. So Lincoln had the bag today, right? All right, let's see what we got. Oh, boy, Mickey Mouse, and he's in a... You got it from your home? Does he fly around? Oh, he flies around. Well, on Mickey Mouse, who do Mickey and his friends call to when they need help? Oh, Toodles, right? Can you all say that with me? Oh, Toodles, right? They call out for Toodles when they need help. Who do we get to cry out to when we need help? Ha ha, yes, God. Can anyone say, oh God, oh God, right? When we need help, we can call out to God and we can pray to him and he will help us, just like Toodles helps Mickey and all his friends. And every time they need help, doesn't Toodles have exactly what they need? Yeah.
Yes.
He does. He almost always seems to know what they're going to do. And it's... Okay, yeah. Joel. Oh, boy. All right. I'm calling out for O'Toodles now. I need a rope. All right. So I want us to remember each and every day we have the opportunity to call out to God and ask for help, okay? So, Lincoln, who do you want to have the bag next week? Armistead, have you had the bag? Armistead has never had the bag. I know. Hey, Armistead, we're going to give you the bag this week, okay? And then next week you can come back with something in it. Remember, it can't be alive. It can't used to be alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me. Or your mommy has to tell me. All right? All right. So let's pray and ask God for patience for the children's church workers. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. For your love and grace, we thank you for all these kids and for the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. Good luck. Go on. Go to Children's Church. Okay, thank you. I know it's no surprise this morning. Can anyone guess where we're going to be today? Philippians 4:13. Yes, we've got two more Sundays, including today, here in this passage. I hope you have enjoyed delving into this passage as much as I have over the last few weeks, and we have today and next week to continue looking at that. We're going to read it this morning from the translation, The Voice, and that will become apparent as to why we're using that passage a little bit later. In the sermon, but just to kind of recap where we've been, all right, we're just in this one verse, Philippians 4:13, but we've looked at being content in all things, right? Not being overly anxious, not being overly prideful, just being content in the things that God brings our way, no matter what that may be or what life may throw at us. We also have recognized that God doesn't call us to save the world. Whew, thank goodness, right? He simply calls us to take up our specific task, the task that he has set before us through the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as we consider this passage, again, I want to read it from The Voice. We do have this passage on the screen, correct? All right. Hear now the word of the Lord. I can be content in any and every situation through the Anointed One, who is my power and strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word, and for the many different voices that see it in various ways. We thank you for the words that you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Today, as we consider this passage, we're going to talk about the strong one. This passage before us says the Anointed One, through whom our strength comes. Is anyone familiar with the title, the Anointed One? We've heard that maybe before. The first time I really heard it was in college. In 1999, I started at Asbury College as a freshman, and what they do for each class is they give each class a name. And the name for our class was the Anointed Class. And so I'd never really heard that before, and there was a passage from Isaiah, which was kind of our theme verse, which I don't really remember what that was. I tried to look for it, and I couldn't find it. And I didn't think until just now to call one of my college friends and see if they knew, so we'll see. But as we learned about this word, this phrase, the Hebrew word is very familiar to us. It's Messiah, right? We're all familiar with that term. And then the Greek term is Christ. And Christ, Messiah, Anointed One, all basically mean the same thing. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his title. It's who he is, as we've seen throughout Scripture. And so today I want us to consider what it means for Jesus to be the Anointed One, and how we come to understand that and what it means for us. I think this morning that God's strength is most fully on display in the Anointed One. It is most fully on display and prevalent and real through his Anointed One, his Messiah, his Christ, in the Word made flesh. Jesus is, of course, the Anointed One. He is proclaimed and foretold throughout the ages. This is what all of God's people were looking for. They were looking for and awaiting the Messiah, and there are still some today who are looking for and awaiting the Messiah. And I would venture to guess everybody, whether they know it or not, are looking for the Messiah. And how often we get distracted with things we think may do for us what the Messiah promises by way of salvation. His anointing, him being anointed, gives us salvation and gives us strength. It is that encouragement that we need. It is him being set apart for the work that his Father has called him to. God's Son is set apart from the beginning to conquer sin and death, to do for us those things that we are incapable of doing on our own. And I don't think that it's until Christ willingly gives up his limitless power in human flesh that we see the true power of God. Now, we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul tells us that power is made perfect in what? Weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. And let's consider all the things that Christ did to come to this earth. This all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent being took on the limitations of human flesh, took on the limitations that we face on a daily basis. He took on and he embraced our finiteness. He embraced and took on our limited capacity, and in so doing, he helps to set us free. He helps us to go beyond this finite flesh and bone. He helps us to go beyond our limited capacities where we are weak and are incapable, and he makes us capable. He makes us strong. And he sets us free from all of the things that we allow to bog us down, from all of the things that we allow to take control and hold on us. And we are set free in the anointed. So what does his being the anointed one mean for us? How does this give us strength? What is the point of Jesus' anointing? The Stoics of Paul's day and the Stoics of today believe that goodness can be found within the individual. They believe that each and every person is inherently good, and that if they look inside enough, if they are introspective enough, if they can see within themselves enough, they will finally come to this understanding, this revelation, this enlightenment, if you will. And then everything will be okay. Everything will be figured out. They believe that we are inherently good on our own and don't need any outside help. And Paul is here to remind us that goodness is found only in Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say when he is approached as a good teacher? He says, "Who is good but God alone?" And at that point, we know Jesus is good because he has been anointed. He has been set apart for God's work. Jesus was anointed by his Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see this in his baptism, in his time in the wilderness. And this is what made him good. It wasn't inherently within himself. Though he was God, he was also man. And if we want to be good this morning, if you want to be good, we must be anointed by Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can do. It's not something I can do. There's not a 10-step program to make us good. We receive that through the Holy Spirit. We receive that through Jesus Christ. We must be acted upon. And this is where grace comes in, because again, we've done nothing to earn it. God must act upon us, and his anointed one has done just that. His anointed one who has come and been set apart has acted upon us, has acted on our behalf, because we are incapable of doing just that. We are image bearers of God because he has created us in his image. And we have the capacity for goodness, but only by and through the Anointed One. Only by and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming upon us. That is how we become good. How we seek to be good. We have these ideas of good enough. There's countless books out there. What's the least I can believe and still be a Christian? What's the least I can do and still go to heaven? What's the absolute bare minimum I can do and still be considered a good person? Well, I'll give you a list, but you won't like it. Or you can become a follower of Jesus Christ and allow him to be good through you. You see, we are co-heirs with Christ, as he tells us in Romans. We too share in his anointing. We can share in it. Christians are anointed and set apart for specific tasks, as we saw last week. There are specific things God is calling each and every one of us to, but we cannot and will not do those if we do not allow the Anointed One to bring change into our lives. We are each and every one of us unique. And our anointing in Jesus Christ celebrates our uniqueness and celebrates the specific tasks that we have been called to in Christ. You'll remember also in Corinthians how Paul talks about us being the body of Christ. And individually, we are all members of it. And if we are taking our goodness that we receive from God and applying it to our lives, we are acting as the part of the body that we have been assigned to be, and we are doing the things that we have been set apart to do, and the body is healthy, and the body is growing. And the body is able to sustain and to continue to move and to work. And Christ is the head of that body, the Anointed One, the first, the beginning, the end. Our anointing, the way we understand it, is symbolized in several ways in the church and have been symbolized and shown throughout history. The first is just simply anointing with oil, and we've seen that throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. We have the kings being anointed for their task. We have the priests and the Levites being anointed for the tasks that they are a part of. We have the various peoples throughout Israel's history being anointed, being set apart to do God's good work. And this was made visible, tangible, through anointing with oil. In the New Testament, baptism kind of comes into play in a very real way. And in the New Testament, this sacrament represents God's purpose and his intention for the baptized to be part of his family, to be part of his plan, to be part of the things that he is about. And so in baptism, just as with anointing with oil, there is this set-apartness taking place. We're being set apart for the work of God, set apart for the tasks that he has called us to, whatever those tasks may be. And again, they are specific to us. And then, of course, the laying on of hands. And this accompanies both the anointing with oil and the baptism. And we see often when these things are taking place, people laying hands on, and they are commissioning persons to do the work of God. We think of Paul and Barnabas being commissioned by the church in Antioch to come to Jerusalem with gifts for the people who are facing a severe famine in the land, and how they are continually being set apart through the laying on of hands. And all of this is God's full work as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Anointed One desires that we embrace our anointing, that we embrace our set-apartness, that we seek to do that which we have been called to do. And far too often as a church, we don't hold each other accountable to that set-apartness. We don't hold one another accountable to our anointing. Well, it's okay. It's okay that this has happened or that you've slipped. And yes, it may be okay, But maybe something better to say would be, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Don't do it again. Stop it. Right? We don't tend to hold each other accountable with these types of symbols anymore in the way that we should. And because of that, we continue to fail and falter. We don't hear a lot about the Anointed One because it makes us uncomfortable, and we don't want to really understand the implications of what that means for us to be anointed, because that bears with it that great responsibility. And it's difficult, and it's frightening, and it's scary, but at the end of the day, it is our call. It is who we are. We are set apart. It doesn't make us better. It doesn't make us worse. It just means we recognize God's purpose for our lives. Do you know God's purpose for your life this morning? Do you know the specific task He is calling you to now? Maybe that task is the task of rest, because you have been busy for a very long time doing a lot of things for God, and maybe He's calling you to rest. I can remember one time in college, just as I was in the throes of all my college classes and getting just amped up and excited for ministry, and I kept just saying, God, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And I can remember one night He just finally said, take a break. I was like, okay, then what? You know, I didn't want to necessarily do that. Maybe He's calling us in this season. Maybe He's calling you to just take a break. Just have a Sabbath of sorts and just rest. Maybe you've had your season of rest, but you want to keep resting. And God is saying, nope, it's time to go. It's time to do. Yeah, people are laughing. I know who I'm talking to now. The season of rest is over for now. Now it's time to get busy. Now it's time to be about whatever task, whatever purpose God is calling you to in this moment. Maybe you're in the middle of a task and you feel like it's time for you to transition to another task. Right? And we can keep going. There are a lot of different variables, different things that can be the case here. But do we know that we are anointed this morning by God's grace? Do we know that in our baptisms we took on that set apartness that we were called to? Do we continue to live into that? Specifically in our church, by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Today we're going to offer anointing for those that would like to come and receive it, to be reminded that we are called and set apart. Maybe we have been resting and we feel God stirring within us something that He wants us to do, and we just don't quite know what it is. Come and receive this anointing. May it encourage you as you continue to seek and to discern what it is you're being called to. Maybe it is that time for rest. Come and be anointed and be reminded that you have done a good work for a while. Take a break, because I guarantee you what He's got for you next is gonna tire you out just as much. Maybe there's some transition you're going through. Maybe you come this morning to receive anointing because you're just in a state of confusion or difficult circumstances, or maybe you come on behalf of somebody. Whatever you come for today, be reminded that you are anointed. You are set apart, and God has wonderful things in store for you that He wants you to be about. But at some point or another, you're going to have to take that step and say, okay, let this be that time for you. There is a call for each one of us, a specific call to us that will empower and strengthen this body of believers we have before us, that will empower the churches here within Elkton and Todd County, that will empower churches across the world. May we recognize God's call on our lives. May we seek to follow the Anointed One. May we receive the blessing and the love He has to give to us this day. Gracious God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Forgive us those moments where we have forgotten that we have been set apart, that we have been anointed, that we are your anointed ones. Strengthen us for the work ahead. Give us rest when that is appropriate and necessary. Help us to transition from that rest to that labor. And always, always, always remind us of your great love for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.